Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is August 2nd. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing phenomenal. I mean, what more can I say? I was really worried last night. I'll tell you what, I was exhausted. I had a big family get-together. I was absolutely spent after a day in the sun. And I was really, really worried about staying up for the Olympics. I didn't think I was going to be able to make it through the Olympics. Sure enough, the boy from Bratislava holes out for eagle from the fairway on the front nine. And all of a sudden, I was more locked in than almost any tournament I've watched all year.
I mean, just life, full of life in the middle of the night, just energizing. The entire, watching experience, I was, not to make this too personal, we don't need to talk about our personal experiences, not a complaint. As the end of a week at the beach, I was delirious. I just, chasing the kids all week. Might have had a few white seltzers of some sort on the beach earlier in the day, last afternoon out there. It's like, I don't know, maybe I won't make it. He holes out. It's just like, it was like 2:30 in the morning and I was bouncing off the wall. And I just like, it was just one of those, where were you? Well, you will remember where you were, the experience of watching it. Golf Twitter was on fire. Thanks to most of you, many of you, you listeners were just amazing, cracking me up, keeping it alive. The broadcast sort of had to acknowledge what was going on. It was just a fantastic sort of middle of the night experience. I'll never forget, probably.
I found myself, I was just cackling as he as he knocked down flag after flag. Like, he just kept just flagging it. Yeah, I mean, it was absurd. It was an insane. I mean, he shot 61 with two bogeys.
Two bogeys.
Was so locked in, and all I could do was it was 1:30 in the morning, and I'm like laughing out loud by myself in a dark room. It was absolutely absurd.
I mean, let's talk about this seriously for a minute. We'll get on Xander. We'll get the playoff, the bronze, and all that. But like, this is a one story for us. Like, look. Then we didn't expect, of all the ways this could go, I can't believe it when this happened. Like, we just have to try to have a little bit of fun with this sort of absurd thing, this guy changing his citizenship. It was like a little note in a column, I don't know, 3 years ago. Like, wait. Saba, who's already a little bit of an infamous character, is now Slovakian. And, we had fun with it for a few years. And all of a sudden, it's 3 in the morning, and he's shooting 61. It somehow almost came to fruition. I'm kind of happy he got silver. Like, the gold was really in play there. We thought it was going to be gold. I mean, think,
Xander,
like, what happened...
Xander was doing his best to puke all yeah. over himself down yep. the stretch. But, yep. he had just enough saves in his pocket. That's the thing. This whole thing, the 3 years...
Just a joke.
We got
it's
an
fun.
Extra year. We got an extra year of the joke.
We did. Yeah.
And it was supposed to... Like, I was expecting it to just wander off into the sun with a T32 from Rory Sabatini at the Olympics. And here he is, really having a shot to win gold. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
61 with two bogeys.
I mean, he hasn't played well in, the entire year. He's been awful. This was not supposed to happen.
Well, I have some... I have some secondhand intel. This is what this podcast is for. Harmless bits of intel. Harmless, totally unconfirmed. This is some secondhand from media folks maybe that were over there. Allegedly, he was out Saturday night. He came back to the pack a little bit, third round. Leslie went out Saturday night, kind of took a full swing at it. People saw him. He was, you know, coming out of his shoes a little bit, taking a full cut. Maybe that relaxed him. Maybe this was a 61 with the hair of the dog. I don't know. Unconfirmed. Let's be clear about that. But rumors emanating from, you know, across the pond, across the Pacific Ocean. But like you said, like, it's just golf. We try to have fun with this. Like, and I don't know. Were there better outcomes? Probably the Koreans having a chance would have been great. But hey, this was such a blast in the middle of the night. It was honestly fun. This is why you watch golf, why we do this stupid little podcast. That it went this way was just blind, dumb luck. I cannot believe this happened. And speaking seriously about the golf, it was like unbelievable to watch. He was so dialed in. And he makes the two bogeys, right? The first one.
I thought it was over on the second one. The second one was like, oh, I thought it was a backbreaker.
16. Yeah. Oh, that was such a horrible tee shot, right? He just kind of like just blocked it out, like slapped it, way foul ball, right? Got a horrible lie. He's
maybe he got, you know, just a wave of hangover right there.
The temperamental South African version's coming out. You know, he's disgusted. His hat, he's pulling his hat down over his eyes. He's getting the anger is starting to bubble up. You're like, oh God, this is going to be awful. This is just going to crash coming in. And he birdies the last two. But on the first one, the first bogey, so he starts 5 under through his first six, including the hole out. He's laughing. He himself is cackling in the fairway, talking to Martina, who became this focal point of the broadcast, I think, at the end. Rich Lerner called it a true love story, which was unbelievable. Sanzi was sure to, in the interview, goes, your second wife. Like, you can't just call him his wife. Now he goes, your second wife. I wonder if that's
true. Tom Abbott was teeing off on him. I mean, he was letting it rip.
I mean, it's such a good thing to have fun with. I had fun. It's, I made a mocking tweet about Abbott. It seemed like he was questioning his love for his country. People were like, Abbott running through his citizenship timeline was classless. I thought it was hilarious kind of tweet. Anyways, so Sanzi says, your second wife. I wonder if Savo, that put him on tilt when it came to answering the rest of the questions. But Martina's factored in. She's laughing after the hole outs. But he makes that first bogey. What? Go ahead.
How about her after the putt? Or during the putt?
On the 18th?
Her yelling. Yeah. She was more locked. Here's the thing. Do you think she got Rory's best out of him? Because I kind of feel like she willed him to that silver. She was so locked in.
She was. And they're talking about, you know, Xander makes the birdie. You can overhear her like pumping up. 18's a hard hole. 18's a hard hole. It's going to be fine. Like, she, her commentary kept getting picked up, the audio. But he makes the first bogey, that par three. Then he comes back on the par three, hard-ass par three over that great bunker, right? I can't remember the number of the holes.
10.
The score. Okay. 10. With that great kind of menacing bunker, that old school Allison. I don't know if it's still, Allison
that
intact, but whatever.
Fazio,
but yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Right after this.
Yes.
Olympics.
Yes. Yes. So he just dials one right onto the flag after that first bogey. It was such a roller coaster. It was so fun to watch. So fun to kind of have the commentary. I don't, you know, he's after the round, he's talking about how he's trying to build the fires burning within the junior golfers of Slovakia, that he's honored to be there. It was just a fun, really fun experience that I cannot believe this dumb little podcast gimmick was. I'm not saying it happened because of that, but we were rewarded with such a fun watching, middle of the night watching Olympics viewing. So
It made the Olympics so much more exciting. I will say this, whether or not with Sabo, I really enjoyed the Olympics. I thought that it was actually really good. I think, like, for me, the event carries greater meaning than almost every other event of the year outside of, like, the majors. Like, it feels like there's some enormity to it, and I think that it's just, like, being Olympic gold medalist is like something that's tangibly a big deal, regardless of whether your sport takes the Olympics seriously or not. I think that's something that like Rory felt as the week went on. He came in like with the typical PGA Tour like this doesn't matter attitude, and I feel like any player that's from like a smaller country, not say you know USA, Ireland, UK, like Australia for a little bit, like anybody in like one of those smaller countries, like CT Pan, like comes to mind, takes this thing super seriously, right? Like it's a huge deal. But like I felt like there is something real about the Olympics. Obviously, Sabo made like the night something unbelievable, but like them like playing, like having three people matter. Like the first, second, and third really gives the tournament more juice, you know, extremely more juice. Like Xander, that would have been a kind of a snooze-worthy final round if Xander was the only winner, right?
Yeah.
Because you know he was kind of like just in neutral all day, but had a lead, you know. And we see this so much on tour. Yeah,
he was up
where
four
like a guy
point.
Just like kind of coasts his way in, and. You know, if those three spots like add so much significance and like the enormity of like the bronze medal, like still being a big deal.
Yeah.
And then there being like a cliff of like, well, better luck next year. I mean, right. Thomas Peters talked about it after he lost the, you know, he was in a great spot to win gold or silver. And he ended up fourth and how he says it's one of the most regrettable rounds of his professional career.
That's amazing.
The Olympics tangibly has something, despite the PGA Tour's best efforts to make it the most insignificant event on the schedule.
Yeah, well, I think that's... we could just transition to it now. I do think, like... Look, I'm going to read off all the quotes of the guys who said it was so great. Like, I think there's something to be said for, like, the guys who were just there aren't going to come out. Like, there's, like, a kind of a confirmation bias about the guys who made the trip and were a part of it are going to say... that it was awesome, right? Like, but I do think that it does resonate with the people who go to it. But like you said, it felt like there was an import. Setting aside all the real fun we had with the BFP, like that was a blast. There felt like a real import and weight. Like it felt important with Xander coming up 18. Like some real, real heavy weight and pressure, to use the Azinger favorite. Like it did feel like there was something more that you probably won't get in Memphis this week, right? And Memphis is a similar, it's a real sort of interesting back-to-back test of these limited field, ones for a lot of money, ones for no money. And it's the other one's kind of like this guaranteed rich get richer type deal. It felt like there was real import to what was happening to Xander's every shot, whereas like, I don't know, if he's in Memphis this week, you know, he'll want to win, but if he blows it and makes a bogey or makes a double or something at 18, instead of recovering for that par, like, it's like a historic kind of, not historic, but a very memorable blunder, whereas if that happened in Memphis or wherever else, non-major edition,
like
you would, it's just like a thing that happened. It was a great watch. I think, anything else on Sabo before we get off him? I just think like the one thing that...
How about the golf? Golf was on in Bratislava, according to Frank McDermott.
They were trying to figure out what it was all about, like explain the rules. It sounds like they still need to grow the game in Slovakia.
Did you see the Slovak headlines? It was like who Rory Sabatini is, how he won the silver medal.
I thought it was ridiculous as they pinged back and forth from one Rory to the next that one was Rory and the other was Sabatini. They kept going back and forth from one to the, like, you know, as Sabo's a couple hours, I don't know, an hour ahead, and one's just Rory while the other is Sabatini as the other guy sits in gold medal pole position. But it was just, it was a fun night. Hey, this is a admittedly unserious kind of gag we got going, but that was great. That was really fun to watch.
Do you know how many medals in the Summer Olympics Slovakia has won in its history?
All time?
All time.
Medals, all
first,
three medals.
First Olympics was 96 in Atlanta. So,
okay. 20. It's a nation of 5 million people, I think. 20?
31 total.
Okay.
So 31 total.
Unbelievable.
One of those, probably the only one, is from, you know, recent South African born.
Sabo.
You know, recent citizenship.
Trying to build the fires.
They've won 10 golds, 14 silvers, and 7 bronze. Most of them canoeing.
Canoe slalom, right? Something canoe.
Canoeing makes up for 19 of the 31 medals. Shooting makes up for 6 of them. Athletics? I don't know what that term. This is all for.
What does that mean?
I guess that's like a decathlon or something.
Yeah.
They've had 2 swimming silvers, 1 golf silver now. Judo, a silver in judo, and a silver in wrestling. That's what makes up their medals. Canoeing, shooting, athletics, swimming, golf, now judo, and wrestling. I mean, you take out canoeing, and Sabo's like a huge part of their Summer Olympic history.
Yeah. I mean, I think he still is. I honestly, I wonder if anything happens of this. The Slovak Golf Association just sees an influx. I mean, I got like serious people. It's in golf. I don't know, media, the industrial, like texting me this morning. Like, is this like, are schools closed on Monday? Or like, is this Sabo Day? Does he get, you know, a parade down the Danube River or the ticker? Like all the, like, it was just a fun bit of the 61 is 61's legit. Set aside all the jokes. The guy set an Olympic record. Not that the record books are thick, but it was a fun watch.
Legitimately, right. I think there's only like 20 total summer medalists from Slovakia.
And he's 20 people, a lot of double. Yeah.
About. Yeah. I'm just looking at the names, seeing the repeats. There's probably less than 20 total medalists in Slovakian, and like especially if you take off the canoeing relay teams where they get like 4, which is kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of individual sports, he's one of a dozen.
If you're Higo or Bezadenhout and he takes you to the woodshed, is it like, are you like, do you hang your head? Like, what happened? I mean, or no, it's just, it is what it is. He wouldn't even be in the field had he not.
Here's a question. Is he eligible for the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup?
I don't. Well, we've broached this subject in the past, but we always try to look. We thought we were banging this into the ground, beating a dead horse, and then all of a sudden, I mean, it's exploded again. Crew Necks will be back. We are making more Crew Necks sweatshirts.
Run anymore. We should just reward the people.
Keep it limited. People had faith before the 61, before the silver boy.
I did see somebody say we should do a silver edition. So just turn the text to silver.
We could do that. We could maybe do that. I don't even know. I forgot what we were saying. Anyways, I'm getting questions about, can Harrington make him a pick? I think he's got to be a Euro Tour member. And he's very avowedly not a European Tour member. He's a dyed-in-the-wool PGA Tour member for like 20 years now. They just flipped to some Central European nationality. I don't think he's eligible. If I'm not mistaken.
Can I ask you another question?
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Sabatini, he's 45. Like, he's had a very good career.
Hey, that was the other thing. Azinger, he goes, I had him at 48 a couple minutes ago. I guess he's 45, but whatever. Still, I mean, I think 3 years is a substantial amount of time when you get into your 40s. That could feel like a lifetime. That could change your entire body. Anyways, that cracked me up. Another thing at 3 a.m, I'm dying of laughing. I had him at 48 a few minutes ago. He's 45, but whatever. He's old. Go ahead. So he's 45.
He's 45. He's got 5 PGA Tour wins. Actually, 6. 6 PGA Tour wins. Is this his the biggest moment of his career?
Yes. Besides the Ben Crane.
So here's the thing.
Cucking.
The emphatic yes there.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's, I don't know if it's recency bias, the fact
yeah,
that
I think we're
emphatic,
kind of, we're
but
biased
the emphatic
general.
Yes would point to the Olympics being a really, really big deal. Because this is the thing that I was thinking about almost all day today, was like, is the silver like the most, you know, biggest moment in Rory Sabatini's career? And I kind of kept coming back to yes. Like, he won Air Canada, FBR Capital, Nissan Open. He won at RIV over Adam Scott. That was a big win. You know, Crown Plaza at Colonial, Byron Nelson, and Honda. And he beat Y.E. Yang at the Honda. That's pretty
yeah,
big.
He always done well down at the Honda, Y.E. Yang. It might be recency bias. It feels like it. It feels like his biggest mark on the zeitgeist, the greater golf zeitgeist, has occurred with the silver medal. There's only been two Olympics, the golf Olympics, in our lifetime. And, you know, he's got one of the 6 medals. It's unbelievable.
Here's another
and the record.
Thing that
and
I
the
didn't
round,
know.
Single round record, 61. Go ahead.
Tying it back to the President's Cup debate. You know, he won the World Cup with President's Cup captain, Trevor Irvine.
Yeah, I did know that. They were talking about that, or somebody was tweeting about it. It cracked me up.
Maybe a past little synergy
lifetime,
there.
Past citizenship ago.
So he finished runner-up at a Masters, too. That's his...
That was the other thing. I guess the gold gets you exemptions into all the majors, but and he hasn't played the Masters since like 2012. I think Will Gray was talking about that. Anyways, just a grand party. So fun. I love that everybody had to really like actually acknowledge it. The otherwise very serious commentators on golf, Tom Abbott, bothered by it. Rich Lerner was having fun. Like, let's go to Slovakia and tee it up. You know, Will Gray, just everybody had so much fun with it. This is what we're here for. It's golf. It's not, you know, let's have some fun. And it was enjoyable. We don't need to get, you know, it's absurd that he just flipped and was eligible to play. But hey, he went there and he did it. He had to still post around and he did post around.
All right. We got 20 right. on Rory. Did we hit it enough? Should we keep going?
No. No.
Do you think there's any future? Like, do you think he's got a lot of appearances now in Slovakia? Like, do you think
yes.
he's got a lot
he's
of responsibility to the country that he didn't have before this?
I mean, what if he just used them and he divorces Martina
and
he
goes
back
somewhere else?
Yeah.
What if he goes to like Saudi next?
Oh God. Jesus. We don't need to take
Do you think Saudi Arabia
turn.
Is going to look at this and think this could be a
yeah.
viable pathway
yeah,
into
absolutely.
Golf?
Absolutely. Yes. And who's going to go for it?
Kokrak.
I mean,
your boy.
You could just put a bunch of money in a guy's bank
after
account.
Ryan Armour next.
No, leave the hands off Ryan Armour, for God's sakes. Anyways, whatever. Like, the 20 minutes we just did cannot do those hours in the middle of the night justice. I would say it was just really fun, enjoyable. Where were you? Moment in history for just being goofy. All right, let's
also,
do an ad read.
Not Jeff Knox tweeted about coke crack to Saudi. Just, you know, want to acknowledge.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Let's do an ad read for our friends at Zero Restriction, who I think they need to... come in. They're the Solheim Cup. They're the official outerwear provider for the USA Solheim Cup team. I think given our friendship with them, given our sort of enthusiasm for Slovakian Golf Association, we should see if we can try to bring these two parties together. I think it's outside of the USA Solheim Cup team, you know, the fires are burning, as Rory told us last night. Maybe Zero Restriction could come in, get in on the ground floor at the burgeoning golf business in Slovakia as well. But
I'd be reaching out. It seems like Martina is the place to go if
yeah.
you want to get stuff done in Slovak golf. So, you know, that ZR sales rep, maybe check out Rory and Tina's Instagram account, you know? What is it, Tina and Rory?
So, yeah, it's one of those combo, which...
That is such a red flag. These like, maybe that's the generation, but like the combo Gmail, like the so the Smiths at G, like Bob and Jill Smith, like the setting up a combo email account. That seems like kind of a red flag. Same with maybe not for Instagram. Maybe that's a little different. Anyways, zero restriction. That is the official outerwear supporter of the Shotgun Start, Fried Egg. They're part of Summit Golf Brands, of course. You're familiar with Beach Ratty. Should be familiar with Zero Restriction. They've been in the game for 30 years, pioneering the performance golf apparel for men and women. As we mentioned, Solheim Cup outerwear provider. So the promo code we have is USA25. That's 25% off everything at ZeroRestriction.com. There's no sort of exclusions or specific products might be, you know, carved out of that. So it's USA25, gets you 25% off everything at Zero Restriction. It's like, it's fantastic stuff, from vests to actual performance to fashion. Like, it does everything for my money.
Rain-resistant stuff. Rain-resistant and proof.
Rain-resistant. All right. Rain-proof. Yeah, absolutely. So, ZeroRestriction.com, USA25 is the promo code. It is... we're transitioning into fall. They recommend the Champ hoodie as this really popular item.
I think you get your fall stuff now, you know, especially...
With the 25% off?
Especially if you live in a fake winter place. That's perfect for winter.
Yeah. Yeah. Fake summer. Fake winter or fake summer?
Fake winter.
Okay. All right. Thanks to Zero Restriction. All right. Let's hit a few more Olympics nuggets. Xander, I'll just say, like, he felt like the right winner. I'm glad it got sort of, like you said, dramatic at the end. He was definitely leaking oil. If there was a pinhole in the septic tank, there was a big leak. They were dumping buckets out as water poured over the side of the boat. Xander.
If that goes like another three holes, I don't know if he wins.
Yeah. But it was a great par. I don't know that was a... You have like a lot of non-golf.
How about him going for the drop?
Absolutely not. I love that Bones, great work by Bones out in front, found the official. He goes, hey, could this be a little TIO? There's a scoreboard up there, but apparently the scoreboard was beyond like the groves of trees. It's like, absolutely not. Totally unreasonable. And then Xander went for it too. I mean, that was a good wedge shot, right? I mean, it's a shot you expect Xander to hit normally, but those were abnormal circumstances with lots of pressure. And it was a great par. I thought the one where he, on the par five, he made the bogey, that was a really good bogey. They were very lucky to find his ball. Then it seemed like he got sort of an unlucky bouncer, drop. I don't know, wherever the ball settled, but that's sort of the breaks of the game. And then he got lucky, he said, you know, he hit the tree, the limb coming down.
Barely hit the ball. He was so lucky.
He goes, I was so lucky. He's like, that was like a Matrix thing that it just happened. I could have hit a million different trunks and shot backwards or out again. And he said he got lucky. So I'll take his word for that. He called it a Matrix shot. So it felt like a right winner, like a really elite player who played well all week. I'm just glad it wasn't like a five-shot walk. And of course, it added a little bit of extra drama given our rooting interest at the clubhouse leader. So anything else on Xander? Does this do anything for you in terms of how you view him? There was a lot of talk about his dad being an Olympian and his obviously connection to Tokyo. So it felt like a great representative for the gold.
Well, this is, I think that when we're doing flashbacks in, you know, 20 years, we're going to look back on Olympics a little bit, you know, as a big event, I kind of feel like. I don't know. I think the scarcity of it every 4 years, I think this is something that is a big deal, you know, for especially going forward. I think in 15 years, assuming golf sticks around in the Olympics, Olympics is going to mean a lot. So yeah, I think this is a big deal for Xander.
Here's Justin Thomas. Go ahead.
One thing I was disappointed in, the telecast kept talking about his 2.5-year drought in the winner's circle.
Shadow.
They were overlooking the shadow leaderboard, how he won the Tour Championship last year.
It didn't feel like 2.5 years. I got to be honest.
Well, he won last year.
He did. He made a snide remark about that at Kapalua. He's like, I guess I'm here, you know, because I didn't win, but I did. You're right. You're right. I don't know if this means anything for the future. It's certainly a career highlight for him, regardless of whether he wins a major going forward or not. I think it will remain a career highlight and certainly meaningful for him. And obviously, if you're American, there's a bit of sort of pride in having getting a gold medalist. Here, you're talking about the Olympics and going forward. Here's the roundup of glowing praise. Here's Justin Thomas, who never really was in it, kind of was lingering down at the second half of the leaderboard, tried to get on a few birdie runs, but was never really close. Here he is. It's just so different. It was cooler than I thought it was. I'm more proud of being here than I thought I would be. I thought I would be proud, but the first day or two, I immediately found out that this is like the coolest thing I've ever been a part of. The Ryder Cup is cool, the President's Cup is cool, but this is just so different. I grew up watching the Ryder Cup, the President's Cup, the majors, and never grew up watching this. So no one was ever able to relay or say how it felt being an Olympian, especially a golfer. And so it was really, I was never hitting putts as an 8 or 10 year old on the putting green to win the Olympics and win a gold medal. So I think when you don't have the ability to dream something, when you get here, it can sometimes just take you by surprise. And this definitely exceeded this. Here's Colin Morikawa, one of the best experiences of your life. I'm walking away whether I got a medal or not. I'm Olympian, and that's what I said from the beginning of the week. But I think what today brought out of me was more than just playing for myself. I was playing for a country, and I was able to fight and dig deep. Here's Rory McIlroy. It makes me even more determined to go to Paris and pick a medal up. It's disappointing to go away from here without any hardware. I've been saying all day, I never tried so hard in my life to finish third. It was brilliant the week. Again, I wish I was leaving here with a medal, but it's been a brilliant week, and I've enjoyed spending so much time with Shane Lowry and all the guys. It's just been a throwback to the good old days when we didn't play for money. I made some comments before that were probably uneducated and impulsive, but coming here, experiencing it, seeing it, feeling everything that goes on, not just Olympic golf, but just the Olympics in general, that sort of Olympic spirit's definitely bitten me, and I'm excited for how this week's turned out and excited for the future. So you have Rory, Colin, and JT, two of which had a chance at a medal, one of which was never shot for a medal, kind of with the glowing praise. Again, I'll add the caveats that, you know, these are guys who went there. The guys who you're probably going to say...
This is the thing. Being an Olympian is a massive deal for any athlete. Golf wasn't part of the Olympics. It gets added, and all these guys like poo-poo it. Like, it's like, oh, the Olympics. Like, we aren't playing for any money. The FedEx Cup's more important. Well, guess what? Like, there's a reason that Devin Booker got done with the NBA Finals and got on a plane straight to Japan, like him and Chris Middleton, because being an Olympian is a really big deal. That's like one of the top athletic honors that you can bestow on anyone. It's wild to me how people have reacted to how golfers. It actually is like kind of telling. It brings me back to the Nicholas Kolsarts quotes about the tour and it's like it brings me back to that, like this tour mentality, this herd mentality, and we eat the same salad every week at the different stops, and we stay the same. Like, this is like one of the best experiences that you can have as an athlete, without a doubt. I've never experienced it, but like as an outsider looking in, as a sports fan, like being an Olympian is about the peak of the peaks, and
it's the coolest thing I've ever been a part of.
It's surprising to see people say this after they go, considering like. But what's surprising to me is the negativity that we still get from a lot of the top players of the world about it. When it's like you're throwing stones when you've never been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was not even a real Olympics.
Yeah. It might mean a lot to JT, but it doesn't have to mean a lot to DJ. I don't think it has to. Like, I don't know. And by the way, with Rory, like, we're getting a lot of messages like, this is so Prince of Pontevedra, reversing course, talking about how he was critical and now he was impulsive. I don't think he says things he doesn't mean. I think in the interest of due diligence, we should note he also has a media relationship with the rights holder of the Olympics. He also has a sponsorship with Omega, which is the timepiece of the, like, I'm not suggesting that's why he would say this, but I think in due diligence and providing the full picture, I don't think he went because they told him to or anything like that. But it's interesting to hear him reverse course. I thought what was most interesting was him talking about Paris being more determined, because I think, like, this is only going to get more juice because, A, we had the Rio thing with Zika and guys bowing out, and this one was sort of like you have the coronavirus. It's jammed in the middle of the schedule. It's in the middle of the night in the U.S., and that's not to say that makes an event good or bad either way, but you're going to have something in Paris after the Open Championship, after sort of the Lynx swing, presumably, if that's still a thing in 2024. And then you're going to have Riviera. Like, it feels like this can only get better, right? Especially when you have people like JT and Rory who are going to be in the game for the next 4 to 8 years.
Maybe.
Colin Morikawa talking about how it's the coolest experience they've ever been a part of. So
I think one of the cool things, too, is how much turnover happens in the 4 years of the field. Like,
yeah.
One of the things is you might only get one shot to be an Olympian.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, if they had a better format.
Yeah. A lot of outcries for that, which has been the case since 2015, basically. Let's talk about the playoff. Let's hit bronze. CT Pan, the bread man, wins a 7-man playoff. I mean, this added 2 hours to my already delirious night. I actually tried to go to bed. I had it, but I watched it all the way through. I was tossing and turning. Were you upset that they split him up into 4 and 3? Did you watch? Did you hold on after the resolution of Xander?
I didn't.
Okay.
Once the resolution of the gold, I couldn't hang on to the rope anymore. Full disclosure, I didn't eat something good for dinner, and it kicked in right at the end. It was a rough night for me after the gold medal. It was not It was not a good morning. It wasn't a good night, and you know, that was the end of my viewing experience.
I mean, it was a good 2 hours. People love this. I thought it was cool visuals. Hey, just added to, like, this being such an amazing night, because you have Hideki, you have Morikawa, you have Paul Casey, you have Rory, and then you have, like, Mito, CT Pan, and then who else? Bassi. Like, so it was like this 7 different countries, 4 different continents, some, like, really heavy hit, like the heaviest hitters in the field, and Rory, Morikawa, and Hideki. It was a cool visual. I thought it dragged, quite honestly. I thought it was, like, a little bit just, but that was also because it was 3:45, 4 in the morning. I think it was 4:40 when I finally turned in. I did see it till the end, despite trying to go to bed. I don't know. Would you have rather them play all 7? Would you go 4-3? And then they played as a 5 after Hideki and Casey got bounced on the first
hole. I think they should have just done a chip off right off the bat, knocked out half of them. Playing 7 would have been utter chaos, but it would have been awesome. Was Hideki the most disappointing late on Sunday?
Oh, he played. This was like, but he hit so many good iron shots and then hit so many terrible putts.
Bad.
I mean, this is the Hideki we kind of have come to know quite a bit. I felt terrible for him. He should have. The gold was kind of on his putter there 4 or 5 times, it felt like.
Well, the fact that he didn't even get a bronze is kind of wild.
Well, this goes back to your Peters thing. It's like Morikawa almost jars it on the second hole. Like, jars it. Pan then comes right behind him and puts it within, I don't know, within 7 feet. But Morikawa almost goes into a tap-in. Not kick-in, but tap-in. And then he gets plugged in the face of a bunker, and that's it. I mean, that's it. Like, it's just, and that's golf. That's golf, right? You get bad breaks, but like when the bad break comes for a medal that you'll have forever, and the Peters thing, like you're talking about, it kind of is an extra kick in the nuts. It plugs in the face of a bunker, and that was it. After the hole, after he almost jarred it, the best iron player in the world. I thought that was maybe a metaphor for things we've seen the last few years, Rory. Bombs it by everyone. It's like the most perfect drive you've ever seen. He's way past everybody. Morikawa, though. McIlroy playing for bronze. Come
make
on.
Make sure.
The silver boy, sure the silver he... Slovak was already in the house with this medal around
his
neck.
I just want to hold you accountable.
All right. McIlroy,
like you're
right.
Holding
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So he bombs it on the second playoff hole, like just doesn't have the sand wedge. Whereas Morikawa is way, but behind him and just drops one on top of the flag. And Rory, like, with a sand wedge, tries to play like the slope and feed it back down, which, you know, is creative. But meanwhile, you have Morikawa just like firing it at the all three ball marks, Pereira, Pan, and Morikawa, like the just dart marks right within 10 feet of the hole, while Rory tries to funnel it with a sand wedge and two putts for par, and he's out while the others go on. So happy for the bread man. Seemed he was two out of DFL after the first round, I think, and gets a medal.
Yeah, and he had his wife on the bag. The other thing I really appreciated about the bread man in China Taipei was that they gave the caddy a stand bag, which is totally like what you should do for the Olympics. Like, it's the Olympics. Like, there's no need for a sponsor to have a big spot on the bag. Like, that's the only reason they carry staff bags. I found myself rooting against, outside of Slovakia, you know, I'd understand what they're trying to grow the game there, which is why they need the big bag. But, you know, these countries that think they're so important that they need a staff bag instead of just a simple stand bag kind of was driving me nuts.
Which ones had stand? I saw stand bag. Rory had a stand bag. Who had the staff bag?
Rory had a stand bag. USA had a staff bag. I think Japan had a staff bag. You know, it's not good. Give the caddies a break. Give them a little stand bag. This is the Olympics. Like, it's not.
You don't need the billboard.
Not the week on tour.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I also think they should be allowed to wear shorts during the Olympics.
How about the podium? Everybody had their sort of athletic gear. They're like, all these countries, and Rory's still in his like foot choice, his spikes, whereas all the other guys, it's like when you get out of the pool and they're like, all right, here's your track suit and your team shoes you're supposed to wear to the podium. Rory was like, had the warm-ups, the tearaways over like some all-white foot choice or something like that. Unbelievable.
Hey, another right, question it. For you.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is something, this is just a 3 a.m. thought. Paul Casey was absolutely the worst case scenario.
But he did the Paul Casey. He did Paul Casey things. Just, you know, slapping it around.
What about his tales from the Olympic Village?
What, just how much he loved it? He did really seem to enjoy it. You think it's phony? Calling him out? We did hear a lot about that.
I think he, you know, like, he's the one that tells everybody about it.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, oh, it's delightful. You wouldn't, delightful. Yeah, you have no idea. It's means so meaningful. All right. Removing Sabah, which I know you can't, like, that was great golf watching, right? I mean, the broadcast kind of whipped around. You saw every player.
There's so many shots. And,
yeah. I mean, the announcers seemed to be having a lot of fun. I love Azinger at the middle of the night when I'm delirious. I had a lot of fun with him. He was comparing Hoshino to Bruce Litsky the night before, which I was like, that's got to be the only person in the world thinking that comp. But it was just, it was a good watch. They bounced around and you have to see all the shots. You had a million guys in contention. So you're getting a Bassi Munoz, you know, tee to green. You get everybody's shots. I thought it was a really fun, good watch. So.
Hey, congratulations to Chile.
Oh, they get the aggregate or the combined?
Yeah. Shot 29 under. Now, I'm not sure if this... I thought we were... our scorekeeper here, DeBruti on Twitter.
Yeah.
He paired Xander with Patrick Reed. And Morikawa and JT. So if you put Xander and Colin Morikawa like we talked about, they would have won.
They would have won, definitely.
But
okay,
Chile. How about that? I mean, this is the case for having the team competition too. Imagine Chile winning the gold medal in golf.
That'd be sweet.
And not only that, like in the mix, Mexico was really in the mix. It would have been really in the mix on Sunday.
I have a friend from Chile around here, knows nothing about golf, doesn't care about golf. And like, he just started asking me all about Neiman. Like, what's the deal? Like, the people are fired up. You know, it's like, it whatever. It's a side personal story. But again, just no, like you talked about, where other countries, it really resonates and pops in a way that maybe people know nothing or don't care about golf.
I think part of being, you know, as somebody that grew up with the United States, like, obviously we have, like, we win tons of gold medals.
Yeah.
A country like Chile doesn't win a lot of medals. Like, right. A country like Slovakia doesn't win a lot of medals. And it's a really big deal when they do. Anybody does. So I think that's, like, the thing. That's why there needs to be a team competition. Because, sure, like, as it broke out, say we had the Xander Morikawa team win gold and Chile finishes second. And then the UK finishes third. Like, in the mix, Austria was in the mix. Belgium was in the mix. Japan, you know, in Mexico.
Massive national story. Yeah.
I think this is the tour. I think the tour is trying to make this the most uninteresting event they possibly can because it's not theirs.
Monahan was there. Come on. They're part of the IGF. Monahan was on the medal ceremony.
They're doing their part, quote unquote. They're taking the week off. But at the same time, I think that the format is a direct correlation to them not really wanting this to work because it derails. It also, it's got the potential to bump the fifth major, the first major, should I say.
No, I don't think. It's every four years.
This might be a major. Then Sabatini has the greatest round of major championship history.
All right, that's plenty on Olympics. Just, you know, we don't need to make it the biggest thing, but God, that was so fun. It was a fun Saturday night, middle of the night. So, all right, moving on to other things from the week. Oh, one last thing. What I really think, as it got late, the best case scenario for me would have been low Rory, and Sabo was one spot up on the podium, just a little higher. The both Rorys making the podium would have been just so delightful. And McIlroy getting bronze, I thought would have been just...
God, he was...
The low Rory battle was electric.
He makes so many mistakes.
Yeah.
You know what he's kind of like now? He's like devolved into like J.R. Smith.
Oh, come on. What, mental mistakes kind of thing? Or
well, it's
what?
Like... It's you love him because he can just like knock down like 6 threes and a half for you. But then he'll like, you know, do his J.R. Smith stuff.
I don't... Okay, maybe. All right, I like it. I like where you're going. I don't know if he's quite like...
Oh,
you know,
I don't think I'm not saying he's J.R. Smith total. I wrote an article like 3 years ago that comparing him to Dominique Wilkins, how he looks like Jordan, you know, and how he looks like Tiger at times, but he just isn't, he's not the same.
Yeah.
But now at this stage of his career, he might be more J.R. Smith. Just...
That's good. I like
great,
it.
Passes the eyeball test, but littered with mistakes.
Elsewhere from the weekend in golf, the Western Amateur. Who won that? Michael Thorbjørnsen, right?
Yeah, Thorbjørnsen's son.
Just on a tear. Event of the week. Can you relay what one eagle-eyed listener sent us?
This is great. I zoomed in. I did some more investigative reporting. It definitely was. He was wearing a Lollapalooza wristband on Sunday. So Lollapalooza, for those that don't know, if you don't know what it is, it's like the biggest music festival in the Midwest.
In the country, but yeah, certainly the Midwest. Yep.
And
yep.
You know, it's 4 days
in Chicago.
It's an utter shit show.
Yeah.
I had nostalgia as I was looking back through Lollapalooza pictures this weekend because you see everybody posting them, and you know, me as a father of a young child has not yet gone back, returned to Lolla. I don't know if I ever will. You know, I found it amazing because this is like this most strenuous test in golf.
Arduous, right?
So he's playing 36 a day, And then he's going downtown and going to Lala, taking a Lala when he's done with his matches.
And he's got his wristband on.
And winning more matches. Like, I want to know what he was listening to. Like, what shows did he go see?
What stage?
Yeah. Was he at Perry's tent? Was he in Perry's tent? Or was he more of a, you know, I don't know what they call it anymore. Was he more of like the lakefront stage? Or was he hanging out in the Grove?
Just prancing down the fairway with his wristband on from the music festival. I loved it. All right, anything more on the Western Am you want to add other than that's our resolution? We have our champ, the Masters of amateur golf.
I got an issue, an apology. You know, I said Trent Phillips was from Clemson. He's a Georgia boy. Sorry, all the Georgia fans.
Yeah, I get getting your ass about that. The Georgia State Golf Association boys, we love them. They're avid listeners. We appreciate that. All right. Elsewhere, the Senior Women's Open, Annika just dominates at Brooklawn, wins by 8, wire to wire. Lizalette Newman was 4-under. Annika was 12-under. Straight off the Celebrity Tahoe event and just mops the floor with everybody. I don't know. I don't have any.
I think this could become a theme of the next 5 to 10 years. We could see a lot of U.S. Senior Women's Opens hoisted by Annika. It wasn't really close at all.
Like, does she play competitive golf much anymore? Like, I don't think she does. She just comes out aside from.
Well, she played a lot this year. We saw her more this year than we've ever seen her. I imagine that was all in a lead up for this.
Yeah, made the cut at Lake Nona. But yeah, I mean, this was not close. She won by 8. Dominant performance. An event that I think is a cool added value to the summer schedule. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was to say, really cool event. It's cool to see, you know, like, I think this is the difference is, like, we don't get, I know that there is a senior tour for the women, but we don't get hit over the head with it. Like we do with the Schwab Cup. It's really neat to watch the legends of the game play in a championship setting. It's just neat seeing Laura Davies and Julie Inkster and, you know, Joanne Carter out there beating her age. Really cool. You know, she didn't make the cut. She almost made the cut at 82, which is neat. But, like, the best players in the game, you know, in the women's game playing. And obviously, Annika hit 50 this year and could be an absolute killer on this event. Could hang 10 more majors on him.
This was also the subject of, like, my favorite video I saw. The USGA team did something like where they spliced in like similar faces they were making when they were young and now being senior tour players. It was I don't know. I just thought that was well done. Catnip for me at least. Elsewhere in golf on the Euro Tour, Daniel Gavins wins the Modest Golf Management ISPS Honda World Invitational. I don't know who Daniel Gavins was before today. He shot a final round 65. Sounds like everybody just blew up around him. Daniel Smith, David Horsey, couldn't gallop across the finish line. Got broke down on the back straight.
You know what he got scared of?
What?
Entering into the Cosia zone.
That's true. You don't want to go.
That, I thought he was going to win, and I was thinking, man, he might be a formidable match for Cosia.
He had 3 wild lost drives, including on the last hole, just not. And Daniel Gavins wins the European Tour side of that. On the LPGA side of that, and apologies for my pronunciation butchering, it's Pajari Annanarukkarn. Annanarukkarn. Her first victory on the LPGA.
I heard him say it on the telecast, and I think it was more simple, Annanarukkarn or something.
Okay. I'm sure everything makes it more simple than we make it.
I apologize as well.
Pizza Metalli.
To look it up and figure out how to say it, but I didn't. I apologize.
Beats Emmitali in a playoff. Cup Show was in
Cup
the...
Cup Show. That was a rough finish.
You know, bogey, what, 3 of the last... 2 of the last 3, I should say. So not a great finish for Cup Show, especially as she's battling for Solheim Cup. It seems like she will, probably. She actually She opened the door. She bogeyed two of her final three holes, and then she hit a final shot into the water at the 18th hole. So now she kind of blew it coming in, opening the door. So that's your European Tour LPGA Let event recap. News. Real quick. I saw Paula Rito knocked out of the Olympics by a false positive, which is awful, awful break. We never discussed...
And the Open.
And the Open. The brutal. Women's British, yeah. We never discussed last week, just slipped through the cracks in the BFB mania, Eamon Lynch's report that the tour is going to ban players from going to play the Saudi international event.
It sounds like it's forbid. They're going to fine.
Fine, yeah, that's true.
Which,
that's true.
Saudi Arabia, which will surely just turn around and
make
write
it up.
It.
Yeah, make it up. I don't know if I recall this as like precedent. We're young. I'm sure there are prior. I can't think of an event that jumps to mind where the PGA Tour was like, you can't do that. I know they have to. They had to have their blessing over the match and things like that and wet their beak on the match. But I just don't recall this happening. I'm not necessarily like against it, but I don't remember that them sort of telling their players, no, you cannot go do this. So anyways, all right, that's it for news. You got anything else?
Do you think Kokrak is no longer on featured groups because of the golf Saudi thing? Do you think that's gonna have an impact on him in the future and PGA Tour life?
I mean, as we've seen with Westy and others, sometimes you just got to play your way in and just say the hell with it. Be so good they can't ignore you. Start leading some FedEx Cup events, the playoffs. I could see Kokrak just going big in the playoffs. Feels like something that would happen. Feels very FedEx Cup-y to me. So, all right. That's it for historic, wonderful weekend at the Shotgun Start. Thank you all for your indulgence of our stupid little boy from Bratislava, the Slovakian silver enthusiasm. We appreciate it. Such a fun night.
You know, Shackelford was poking fun at our merchandising.
What's wrong with that? What do you have to say? Yeah, then he got on board.
He's on board, but
he's grumpy.
I was saying we should do Rory, you know, next to the Bratislava skyline biting a silver medal.
That's pretty good. Silhouette. We could do that. Serious note, this does have me that much more excited for the women's side too coming up.
Oh yeah,
like just the way that one went out, like I'm excited to watch the women. So
I do. All right. I do miss the Rio golf course.
Yeah, that's
the golf
true.
Course kind of stinks.
That's true. It was very soft, at least for the men, the finish. So. All right. Thank you all. We'll be back Wednesday, whatever it is, Tuesday night, with a preview of the Women's Olympics. And I guess Memphis. Are you excited for Memphis after that Saturday night from Tokyo? You pumped for the FedEx, you know, St. Jude?
I've never pumped for that event.
PPC in attack. All right. We'll talk to you then.